It's Helping Hand, weekly feature HPR1 stations and online at hawaiipublicradio.org on Friday afternoons. We try to put the spotlight with Helping Hand on an organization, topic, or event, and it offers assistance to people who have disabilities and others who are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence. This week we're learning about Parkinson's disease and the many resources available for patients, loved ones, and healthcare professionals via the Hawaii Parkinson Association. There are a lot of ways to support them, including participating or volunteering at the walk that's happening Sunday, September 16th, Magic Island in Ala Moana Beach Park in Honolulu. We're going to hear about the event, their need for trial and study volunteers and drug research, support groups and the ways that people can contribute to these, some of the valuable therapeutic physical activities that they suggest, and of course, more about the fundraising awareness-raising walk that's coming up in September. We're thrilled to be welcoming back our returning guest, Jerry Boster, who's president of the Hawaii Parkinson Association, and a new guest joining Jerry. It's Lindsay Sutton, PhD, Hawaii Parkinson Association secretary, head of their exercise committee, a certified yoga instructor as well. Aloha and welcome, Jerry and Lindsay. Thank you guys for doing this.
Thanks for having us, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
And it's a great pleasure to have you here. And I guess let's start by including as many folks in our conversation as possible, because no doubt people are tuned in who are not as familiar about different kinds of conditions. How about a summary in general about Parkinson's disease, a progressive neurodegenerative disease? Perhaps just explain when it begins to affect folks, early signs or symptoms, and detail a little bit about the progression.
Sure. First, I want to throw out one thing, and it's recently there was an article came out of University of Rochester by a couple of PhDs, talked about Parkinson's, and they're calling it the next pandemic. Pandemic normally are infectious diseases. Parkinson's is not infectious, but the number of people that are being diagnosed with Parkinson's is increasing like a pandemic because of the aging population, the better diagnostic tools, and the better education that we're getting out there. So this is a very important topic to the population in Hawaii because we have so many aging personnel and that are aging in place. And Parkinson's, although we talk about it as a condition for the aged, it also strikes the young. I was a young onset. That means I was under 50. Last time we talked, the youngest I knew about was 7 years old, but they now have one on record that was a baby of two, which is really distressing, but it just proves that it is across the board. And what Parkinson's is, it's a degenerative neurological condition where the body stops producing enough dopamine for one reason or the other. And we have a saying, it says, if you've met one Parkinson patient, you've met one Parkinson patient. And that really means that each person's condition is unique. But we have some typical motor symptoms and non-motor symptoms. And I'll start kind of with myself. When I was diagnosed 5 years ago, I was having what we call resting tremors when I was inactive, the left arm and hand are shaking kind of like they are now because I'm just sitting around. Some rigidity, slowness of movement. I was walking slow, and for our whole life, almost 25 years, wife and I had been married. I always outwalked her, and all of a sudden she's outwalking me. Also, I was, after a career in the military, she's used to me standing upright, and all of a sudden now I'm stooping. And these are all symptoms. We have a couple other ones, falls, abnormal gait, masked face, and freezing. If you have trouble moving, and a lot of times your brain's telling you to go, but your body's not obeying. But there's also some non-motor things like temperature regulation, and a lot of it's localized. I have a couple specific areas where I sweat, as well as, you know, a little bit more in the whole body, but around the hairline on the back of my scalp, all of a sudden it's just like I'm pouring sweat, and we can't figure out why. But we found out it's related to Parkinson's. Vivid dreams, constipation, hallucination. One that is really distressing because I love to cook and I love to eat is you start having a loss of smell and taste. It's like my taste is okay, but my wife is always, she'll open the refrigerator and say something's going rotten in there, and I'll stick my head in the fridge. And
you won't notice it.
Not at all. Not at all. And then one that we talk about quite a bit, and Lindsay will hit this one later on, is you lose your voice almost. You become very soft-spoken. And so we have a program called Big and Loud to help you get that back. But like I said, these are not everybody. And as time goes along, they do typically get worse. But what we're finding is with some of the treatment regimes, especially the exercises and the advances in medications, they're slowing down the symptoms. They're not slowing the actual progression of the condition, but they are slowing down the impact of the symptoms. And that's that's huge for us because quality of life is our number one mission in trying to help patients maintain the best quality of life they can for them and their families. So those are some of the early signs and kind of the way it progresses.
Right. And as you pointed out, they're very individual, and so somebody may not experience all of those, or some people may experience only some of those.
Right. We've got one of our board of directors, a guy named Jim over on the island of Kauai, and it took him a long time to diagnose him because he didn't have the most common characteristic, which is the resting tremor. Most Parkinson patients, probably 98, 99% of them have the tremor, but Jim didn't. And so it made it really hard to diagnose him, and it took him, I think, almost 5 years to get his diagnosis right. But once they got him on medication, a lot of the other symptoms cleared up.
And what were the symptoms that he was showing if he wasn't showing the tremors?
Well, it was some of the rigidity and some of the slowness of movement and some of the fatigue, because that's very common to Parkinson patients. They get tired faster.
But it wasn't enough for a doctor to be able to zero in on a diagnosis either.
No, because a lot of the symptoms are common to a lot of different
other
conditions.
Things, right?
Yeah, right. Especially on the non-motor side. That's one of the challenges because there's no test. They've got a couple in testing, and they've got some promising results on smells and proteins and things like that. But they're still all in testing, mainly in Europe. So
right. The tests are in testing stage. What you're saying. And at the same time, backing up to something you said about there are substances that they've developed which can slow down the onset of the symptoms, and you'll correct me if I have any of this wrong, but they don't have anything yet which can slow down Parkinson's, stop it, cure it.
There's one in testing. Huntington's disease is related to Parkinson's, and for the first time in 50 years, this is the biggest generational jump. They've found a medication that they're injecting straight into the spine, and it is slowing down Huntington's. So they're in phase two of the clinical trial testing, and Parkinson's is tag teamed on that, and we're in phase one. So there may be, but we don't know what
yet.
We don't know because it's so new. They're just got done with the safety trials. Now they're actually going into the tolerability, and then it'll actually be to see if it actually works. But in the tolerability, they're finding that it's slowing down up to 80%, slowing the progression. So that is monster for me. If they could slow my progression down that much, I would be, and just keep me kind of where I'm at today for decades, I would be ecstatic.
Right.
But they think they're getting closer to the cause, and if they can find the cause, they might be able to find a cure.
And that was one of the things when we were talking last time and in previous times about this. It's one of these, there are some strange not coincidences, there are some of the facts when you line them up. One is Jerry served in the service. He was in the Navy for 29 years. And there is this pattern, right, where a lot of folks who had been in different branches of the service have, and all kinds of different branches, and sometimes they're abroad, sometimes in the U.S., completely different levels of service and what they're doing, but they have some link through having Parkinson's.
That's right. And there's three general conditions that have linkages to Parkinson's. One is heredity, getting it through your family.
Right.
Second one is traumatic brain injury, and we're seeing a lot of that out of the soldiers and sailors and airmen that have been in Iraq and Afghanistan. And then the third one is related to chemicals, especially pesticides.
Right.
And there was a thinking when I was here last year that each of the different of the three categories were kind of their own unique subcategory. The thinking now is you've got a mutated gene, and once you get that mutated gene, it all comes together. How you get it is different, whether it's heredity or an external factor. And what they're tracing it down to now is actually a bacteria in the stomach. And the bacteria is getting corrupted, which corrupts a gene that's inside the spinal column, which produces a protein that's corrupted that goes up into the brain and grabs cells and kills them. Now, in Parkinson's, it kills dopamine-producing cells, but in Alzheimer's, it's producing memory cells. Why the difference, they don't know. There's something in the predilection of what your body produces, but once you have that mutated gene, that protein is the same no matter which of the neurological conditions. So it's kind of interesting over in just a year that research is advancing that quickly, that
right.
they're now thinking once you got that mutated gene, it doesn't matter how you got it, it's kind of all the same.
Which would also maybe mean if they could treat that one mutated gene, then it would something that would be able to be replicated through many different diseases.
Correct. And what they're doing right now with that drug I was talking about putting into the spine is it's called alpha-synuclein. And that drug goes in and dissolves the alpha-synuclein, the bad protein, before it can go up and grab onto the cells up in your brain. And so that's how they're slowing it down. Right. They're dissolving that protein.
Right, that little path you described, they're stopping it at a point in that path before it gets to the terminal location where it does the damage.
Correct.
There's a note, you guys both can support folks and caregivers prior to like digging into drugs and the trials and potential studies. There are a number of things that you guys can do in addition to drugs that can help people. One of those is, and you mentioned it actually, and Kevin, Luckett, who used to come in here, mentioned a lot, which is exercise. And the way, and that's something that you guys as an organization locally lean on, because it's proven itself to be a successful way to slow down the condition, I guess, is the way. Lindsay, if you can talk a little bit about some of the services that you guys offer and dial in on that, which is something that you yourself specialize in.
Absolutely. There is no substitute for exercise and what the benefits are from exercising, whether it is walking, moving around in your house, doing yoga, tai chi, boxing. There are a lot of different programs and the effects that exercise brings. In general, through the Hawaii Parkinson's Association, we do a lot of supporting of programs, especially right now through the YMCAs. And so on island, we have Parkinson's classes at all the YMCA branches. We also have classes on the island of Hawaii, on Kauai and Maui at the YMCAs there, and then additional support group classes that are kind of funneled through the individual support groups. So as the organization is, we have a bunch of different support groups on all different islands led by support group leaders that are volunteers themselves, and then they go ahead and work with the community to find exercise teachers, instructors, and people with specialties that the group in particular is interested in. So I know that recently we just have a boxing class that's going to be started up on the island of Kauai. Hmm. We are trying to get a boxing class started over on the Big Island as well. There are a couple of boxing classes already offered here in Oahu. And so we partner with different organizations to really get that information up on our website and out there, as well as then invite people to come to talk at the support groups about the benefits of exercise, nutrition, and overall healthy lifestyles.
If there are people out there who are nutrition professionals or who would be suitable or appropriate guest speakers and they're hearing this, is this also a way you guys are asking for people who would be appropriate to join your cause and come and speak and participate?
Absolutely. We would love to hear from anybody interested in sharing their knowledge about Parkinson's in their profession and their specialties.
Go ahead and mention what you just... The one we've just been talking about, you just did, that we just posted
on Thursday.
Yeah.
So on Thursday at our Honolulu.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Yesterday. We had a guest speaker, Dr. Opanui, and he works at Manukai Omalama Integrative Health Services downtown Honolulu. And he is a naturopathic doctor. And so he spoke about ways to treat Parkinson's patients yesterday. And one of his biggest talking points was absolutely food and nutrition, that the body really, really does need to have a healthy diet. And in the case of Parkinson's, I mean, in the case of general health and wellness, a more plant-based diet with specific selected proteins that are healthy for the body and have your omega-3 fatty acids and things like that. Yeah.
So these are some of the benefits of the organization can steer you towards. There are some ways of dealing with this, and most effective ways are with having a healthy diet that addresses specific concerns that can help to tackle the disease, as well as critical forms of physical exercise. And so those are things that they offer. And are there costs for people to participate in any of those from you guys?
In the support groups? No.
No.
It is all free.
What about other services?
There is for the YMCA. The YMCA has their own participant costs. But anything that is sponsored by the Hawaii Parkinson Association, no, we make those, all the events free, just because we know that a lot of the folks are on fixed incomes and they can't afford it any other way. So,
and I encourage people at their website, they have an extensive calendar, parkinsonshawaii.org, and the calendar lists many, many, many of these events that are going on, these classes, the support groups, the exercise, a lot of things that are invaluable in terms of trying to head off Parkinson's. And we talked a little bit about it, and drugs treatment is a way. Mm-hmm. What is available, and explain the importance of your need for trial and study volunteers to make these sort of experiments happen, and give some information on the trials and studies.
Sure. I appreciate the opportunity. When we talk about treatment of Parkinson's, we really mean two things. It's exercises and drugs. And Lindsay was just talking about some of the exercises. So drugs are also a very important piece of the treatment. Everybody wants to have the latest and greatest, and there's a lot of drugs that are in development. Other than, there are more efficient ways of delivering levodopa and carbidopa, which has been our drug of choice for about the last 50 years. There was just a trial recently on inhaled version so that it gets in quicker and gets more efficient. We're starting to see, you heard of the insulin pumps on some patients. Well, now there's a levodopa carbidopa pump, and two patients here on the islands have received it, and it's starting to expand out. I met with the pharmaceutical rep on that, and they gave me a brief on that so we can start educating people on it, because it's more, they deliver the drug right into the intestine through the pump, and it's much more efficient, and you get rid of a lot of the ups and downs that you get from an oral medication, which has to, you ingest it and it has to go in and then be dissolved and be absorbed then.
So typically people take this medication as a pill, and you're saying this would be an intravenous method that would pump it directly into the intestine?
Correct. And they've been doing this with insulin for a lot of years to make it more efficient so that you, because one of our biggest enemies is the on and off periods, because when you take a drug, you know, it takes, for me, about 45 minutes to get it into my system.
When you take a pill, you're saying?
Right. And so it takes about 45 minutes to get in, and then you start ramping up as you get more and more into your system, and you kind of peak, and then you kind of come back down, and so you have these hills and valleys. By doing it this way, it's actually more stable, and it's a leveler dose, and that's a lot of what the drug companies are trying to do. So they're trying to do. They're trying to find better ways so that it's, the dosages are steadier, and it eliminates the peaks and valleys. But to do this, you have to, all these drugs have to be tested during clinical trials, and they're always looking for new ways to do it. And a couple of the numbers, it takes 5,000 chemical compounds to put one drug on a shelf. And to do it, it's 12 to 15 years of time and about $350 million. So it's very expensive. It's very long pipelines to get these new drugs actually onto the shelf, and a lot of work goes into it. And the one single point of failure, more than any others, is volunteers. 80% of drug trials, and this is not just for Parkinson's, but it's across the board, are delayed because of lack of volunteers to participate.
People who have Parkinson's who are willing to take the substance?
No, it doesn't,
doesn't have to be in
Correct. They need both people with Parkinson's, and they need people without.
Oh, like a control group or whatever they
exactly.
call it.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And 33% of trials never get off the ground for lack of volunteers, because they don't have enough to even get started.
So you're saying a lot of people listening who could really be helpful to this, who just would volunteer to be in the control groups for these?
Correct. Yeah, Michael J. Fox Foundation say 1 in 10 Parkinson patients participate in drug trials. 1 in 10, even though 6 in 10 are aware of trials and understand the benefits. People just don't like to do it.
So you're saying even more patients also could be used, because from what you're saying there's a whole bunch of patients who aren't trying either.
Correct. And that's one thing people need to understand. There's two different types of trials. One is observational, one is interventional. Interventional is your drug stuff. That's where you actually go take a medication. Like, as soon as I was diagnosed, they put me on, I went into one, and I was on actually nicotine, because they know, we talked about it last year, smoking actually slows the onset and progression of Parkinson's. I don't advocate smoking because of all the other problems that comes with it, but in the case of specifically to Parkinson, they know that it is, I won't say beneficial is not the right word, but it does slow the progression and onset. They're trying to identify why. So I've done a drug trial, but that's not what they need. I also do, you know, 6 to 8 observational online trials where they send me links on the computer, and I fill out the form and tell them how I'm feeling, what I'm eating, what my activity's like, and things like that. But then, like you said, they also need people to be controls where they take placebos and things like that. And so there's a lot of different ways. All the latest one I'm in, actually the VA is doing a drumming study. And they have a musical therapist, and she's seeing, we go over and we play African drums every Sunday, and I practice 5 to 6 times a week. And the goal is to work on the strength, especially in the arm that is predominated by the Parkinson's, as well as my dexterity. And she gives us exercises to do that are associated with drumming, and it seems to be helping somewhat. It's a relatively short study. It's only about three to four months. And they're measuring at the beginning, and she's doing measurements once a month. And at the end, we'll see how we end up. But it does seem to be working. So there's all sorts of different types of studies that most of these ones don't have anything to do with drugs. It's all about helping mm-hmm. you live better. And so volunteers, educating people to volunteer is just a huge piece of this. And I encourage everybody to take a look at it. I encourage my wife to do it, and she did one for Alzheimer's, volunteered through White Pacific Neuroscience. She was screened, but she didn't have the gene they were looking for, so they said thank you, and she went on her way. But
it gave them the chance to use that person, and what you're doing is you're putting the word out and saying there's a way that a lot of people can help do something that maybe you never even thought of.
Right, and this actually helps out the Hawaiian economy, too, is I'm trying to bring more resources to Hawaii. And we're starting to get a name for being able, on the neurological condition side, to get volunteers. Recently, there's a Hawaii Pacific Neuroscience is one of the trial nodes. They were been number 2 in the nation in 2 or 3 recent trials as far as people volunteering for the trials, which for the population of Hawaii is astonishing because we're fairly small, and they're beating out big cities like, not Boston, because Boston's like one of the number 1 locations in the nation, but they're beating out like Los Angeles and places like that where there's just hundreds of times our population there, and we're doing so much better than they are. And that makes people want to come here and do more stuff here, and that helps. The more medical resources we can bring, the better off we are across the board for all the different types of neurological conditions. So it's kind of a self-fulfilling thing that we're working real hard with, and that's one of the side effects of people volunteering. And here's a really kind of a cool story. We had a high school student that came to us and said, hey, I want to do a facial recognition and meditation study. Would you help me get some volunteers? So we got him about 3 dozen volunteers, which by the end of the study, about 2 dozen actually finished it. And he took his results, which was he saw a difference in Parkinson patients of 12% change in their facial recognition. Because remember, one of the motor symptoms I mentioned was the mask face, causing blank faces. But he saw people were starting to have more expression. So he took the results of his study. He was 2nd in the state for high school science project. And now he's gone on to compete internationally.
Huh.
And this kid is going to be one of our future scientists.
Right.
That who knows, maybe in 5 or 10 years, he could go out and actually find a cure for one of these conditions.
Right, he's really putting his life into the capacity to make some huge changes with the things that he's...
Yeah, so it's kind of a cool, unique story, but this is the type of thing that we are encouraging, the more research, and you never know where it comes from, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, it opens up the door for a lot of people to participate, and people often want to help, and sometimes there are different ways to help, and they don't fit everybody's lifestyle. Sometimes people are struggling with their own issues and they can't afford time or money, or sometimes they have the time and they don't have the money, or vice versa. And this is a really unique way to volunteer and be part of a study like that, which, as you said, especially when you talked about some of those other developments that you mentioned, which have made huge progress with drugs like this, maybe in our lifetime, we could have had a real sea change in how some of these things are handled. And it's really because of having the resources of people to participate in the experimentation, not as well as the funding to do that. And that part of the puzzle is tackled throughout the year. Anyone can donate at any time. And if you're inspired by the things that you're hearing today, then certainly you could make a donation at their website. You can make a secure donation at this moment. But a way that they raise awareness for all of these activities as well as raise funds is the walk that happens every year, Sunday, September 16th. It's our only one in the state, correct? So this is the statewide walk.
Correct. What we are trying to do is the Big Island is working on starting up a walk at the simultaneous walk at the same time as part of ours. Last year, some of their members did take their time and energy and flew over and participated over here. And we have a couple board members over there. So after we got to talking, and it's like, why don't you guys just stay home and take that money and put it into doing one over there? And so that's what I'd like to do on all four islands over time. It just takes time to set these things up on each one. So,
no, absolutely. But I mean, it's still, this is the mothership of the, in terms of the largest population in the state,
right?
And can reach a lot of people here Sunday, September 16th. It's 9 to noon at Ala Moana Beach Park, where it was last year.
And I would encourage people to come out, because we've got a huge resource area where we're going to have all sorts of vendors with information, doctors, I mean, all sorts of different stuff. And if you come out to the walk, it says walk because we always want you to walk because it's good for you as an exercise, but it's not required. If you want to come out and just find out more information, because recently I've been getting a spate of phone calls of people that have been diagnosed in the last year, and they're getting out of the denial stages. They're ready to start facing it head on, and they're looking for information. And so when we talk about doing support, and we do support tabling events, we do the symposium every year, which is big, the walk area. I'm doing a lot of presentations, especially to senior groups. A lot of the state senior organizations are reaching out to us asking for presentations, so I'm getting out. I probably did 15 of them in 2017, and I'm probably going to have at least that many or more this year. And I do one-on-one counseling too. I've been doing a lot more one-on-one. And Parkinson's is, it's not for the rich, it's not for the poor, it's for everybody. And so if somebody just wants to sit down and talk, I'll do that. I won't guarantee that we can solve all the world's problems,
right,
but I'll get you as much information as I can. One of the things when we talk about support, financial piece is a huge piece, and I don't want to downplay that, but just as much as we were talking about for trials, volunteers are a huge piece for us.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're trying to find volunteers to revitalize our DBS, Deep Brain Stimulation Support Group. I'm talking to the manufacturers. They're willing to provide resources for the support group, but we need a volunteer leader to kind of help out. If somebody would like to come out and help us out and has worked around deep brain stimulation devices, we'd love to have you. A lot of our support groups, a couple of them are going really well. Mililani, Hawaii Kyard, even Windwardside doing pretty well, but yeah, a couple of them can use more people. And we know there's more people that are diagnosed all the time, so we'd love to have you come out to the support groups. This is about meeting other people, realizing you're not alone, and learning lessons from them and providing lessons to them.
And some of those lessons, if you can, because some of what we talked about in the beginning that is clear, and Lindsay, you can speak to this, is because you're a yoga instructor, and there's huge benefit from the physical exercise. And also when Cherry was talking about the walk, and a lot of people, when you're at the walk, if you don't want to do the walk, there's a lot of exercise that happens right before the walk, and then you can kind of talk to people. Talk a little bit about how those exercise courses are a great opportunity for people to both meet other folks, but also be able to plug in and take advantage of this, what you have found to be something that really helps people.
Right. So in general, exercise classes, especially those where there's a larger number of people, the ones at the YMCA and some other local organizations as well as through support groups, offer a social setting so people can link up with each other and have that connection. And what we do know, and as a social science researcher, what I know is that when we lose connections within ourselves and to other people, that's really when we start to experience some of the major side effects and symptoms of many diseases. And in Parkinson's, those secondary side effects include things like depression, things like, you know, anxiety and overstress. And
things you don't even think about.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Because without any type of social connection or your connection to yourself, and that's where the exercise component comes in. And again, all exercise is great because it gets the body moving. But not all exercise is created equal. And what we do know from studies, and there are studies on biking for Parkinson's, on boxing for Parkinson's, on Tai Chi, Qigong, Pilates, and yoga. And in there have been recently about 4 studies on yoga that have come out and said, wow, as a full body, whole body, and whole being person exercise program, yoga has a lot of benefits to offer. One of the really greatest ones, I think, is that actually a meditation style used in yoga called yoga nidra has shown to help boost production of the really feel-good neurotransmitters, GABA, serotonin, and most importantly for Parkinson's, dopamine.
And what's that called? Say that word, the yoga?
Yoga nidra. And what it loosely translates to is yoga sleep. And it's a specific style of meditation that's a body scanning and kind of an awareness type of meditation that's done. And it has significant impacts for the production of these neurotransmitters.
And so I encourage folks, these are the kinds of things you can learn about, as Jerry was talking about. If you want to just pick up some really helpful information that maybe you did not know, these are the kinds of things that you can talk about when you're there. And you can use that. It's a great point you had. You can use that as just a resource grab. It doesn't have to be just for walking. It can be a great way to learn. There are things and there are other people going through the same thing.
And along the same lines, one of our biggest concerns is when a patient is newly diagnosed, they go into denial, and they, with the average age being 62, they're looking at retirement, so they become shut in. And that's one of the absolute worst things you can do, and going to the support groups where the patients are there, yeah. Going to the exercise, you get a lot of support. And we have another lady named Pat Bemis who's kind of heads up our support group side. And Pat and I had an epiphany earlier this year when I was back at the National Forum. And right now, when you're diagnosed with one of these conditions, they say, here's some website, you have to pull information. And when you're kind of in denial and when you're going to be a shut-in, that's exactly the wrong thing to do. And so we're trying to shift from a pull philosophy where you have to pull information to a push philosophy. And I was back at the National Forum when this thought hit, and I went around to the Michael J. Fox Foundation, the Parkinson Foundation, a couple of the other national level foundations who provide resources, and I asked them, can I get supplies in bulk? And the answer was yes, and I'm working on getting those right now. And the idea is we're going to put together a new patient welcome
kit kind of deal.
Kit thing, yeah, with a bunch of different information in it. And some stuff like a Davis Finney puts out a book that's about an inch thick. It's just tons and tons of information, which is pretty in-depth. But there are other places that put out stuff that's not quite as in-depth and it's a little easier. So we want to kind of put a gamut in there so people can read different ways. But we're trying to put together these kits. And so as people are diagnosed, we want to push this kit to them as quickly as we can, because the quicker you get educated and start getting into the support groups and start getting into the exercise, start getting on the medications and get your medications worked out, the better you are, the quicker you can get treated. Right. We have a guy in Mililani that I become friends with, and he's going to start to speak for me. And he said he had a brain tumor, and they went in and cut the brain tumor out. But they didn't realize he also had Parkinson's. They thought it was just all because of the brain tumor. But what really clued him was he said he was living in a fog. And he was wandering around all day just living in this fog. And when he got onto the medications, all of a sudden within 2 or 3 days, it just like the fog evaporated and he cleared up. And he's like, oh my God, I can see again and I'm human again. And his quality of life, even though he still tremors like I do and has a little bit of shuffling issue, his quality of life just went up immensely. And that's one of the biggest lessons I learned, because mine was kind of a slow onset, so it really didn't hit me like that. But for him, it was like night and day.
And so the lesson would be that there are substances that can make huge improvements?
Well, not just substances, but the exercises.
Yeah. The combination of the regimen.
Yeah, you do the treatment regime, if you take it serious and you actually get it going, yeah. Your life will improve significantly. Yeah. I look back at even mine, which was slower, and now I don't have the walking issues. I don't have the stooping issues.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, my wife is much happier with the way where I am in that situation. But for him, it was even more dramatic. And there's a lot of people that are in that situation. So if we can reach out to you and help you get the treatment regime going faster, I think your quality of life will improve faster, and that's very important.
Yeah. And then we're also wanting to reach out and ask for volunteers to come also teach exercise classes in any form. And we have in-house training that we can offer for free to teach people more about working with the Parkinson's population. So in a fitness setting, they would have a better understanding of how to do that, because absolutely exercise combined with all the other treatments is going to give a better quality of life. And Jerry said exactly the main important thing with Parkinson's is posture. Mm. The alignment of the spine is absolutely key for better breathing, better living, better digestion, better everything. And our vice president, Kay, actually says this really well. She says Parkinson's is like aging sped forward, right? Super put on fast forward. And exercise is very neuroprotective. And like I said, some forms of exercise are better than others at being very neuroprotective, but in really preventing that fast forward decline in terms of that's age related. And so as people are interested and would like to come volunteer to teach exercise classes, we are welcoming them, and we do have training and information to give them.
Here's how to get involved. ParkinsonsHawaii.org is the website where you can make a secure donation, where you can learn more about the walk, where you can learn more about exercise classes, or you can volunteer your services to help. You can give a call toll-free at 800-4-PD-INFO, and that reaches the National Parkinson's Office. And then the local number is 808-219-8874 to reach you guys locally. You can send an email locally, info@ParkinsonsHawaii.org. We've got the full interview, the radio feature, all of our previous Helping Hand guests, all of their contact information as well at HawaiiPublicRadio.org. What are other things that are important ways that folks could help that we didn't cover that you want to get in there before we wrap it up?
For me, it's just a matter of getting the word out. It's amazing when I walk into a room and I'm going to give a presentation to a new group. And one of the first questions I ask is, how many people either have Parkinson's, know somebody with Parkinson's, have a relative or something, they know somebody, and about 3/4 of the hands go up. So, but you ask how many people know really what Parkinson's is,
right,
and almost no hands go up. Mm-hmm. So the big thing is just getting the information out. So if you know somebody or have a relative that has Parkinson's, please get educated. It not only helps in Parkinson's, it actually helps in a lot of the other neurological conditions because there's a lot of commonality. But the more the word we get out, the better, because, you know, it used to be you had an old auntie or uncle who shook and you just thought, well, they're just shaking because they're old. We're actually finding out it's more likely Parkinson's. And with multi-generational homes in Hawaii, that is key. And so that is probably the number one thing. And then for the patients themselves, especially the newly diagnosed, I said it once, but it's so important to me that I'll say it again. You are not alone, and you are probably not unique in the condition, the situations and symptoms that you're having to deal with. Let us try to help you and understand so it would make your life easier. But you are not alone.
Powerful words. It's Jerry Boster. He's president of the Hawaii Parkinson Association and was joined by Lindsay Sutton, PhD, Hawaii Parkinson Association secretary, head of their exercise committee, certified yoga instructor. They'll be there Sunday, September 16th, Magic Island, Ala Moana Beach Park in Honolulu, for the walk and the fundraising event from the Hawaii Parkinson Association. On behalf of all the folks that you guys are helping out and yet to help out, thanks for doing what you're doing. It's a huge honor to have you back on Helping Hand, and I'm wishing you a whole bunch of success in the future, man.
And thanks very much for having us, Dave. We appreciate the opportunity, and you've been a fantastic host and supporter, and hope to see you out there on Sunday as well. You had a good time last year, I think.
I definitely did, and we'll be happy to be there. Be glad to.
Absolutely. Great. Thanks, Dave.
You're welcome.